Hello, Dick.
Hello, boys.
College basketball, the Final Four. I'm sure no one in the country had San Diego State to play Florida Atlantic and UConn to play the Miami Hurricanes.
No. This is I've been doing brackets for the NCAA tournament since I was probably 10 years old, and this was my worst bracket of all time, and it wasn't particularly close, and I think a lot of people can say that. And, you know, I think the reasoning for it is fairly simple. It's twofold. One, there was no dominant team in college basketball this year. I mean, Alabama and Houston appeared to be the two teams that were above the rest, but even those two teams weren't elite like we've seen some of the one seeds coming into the tournament. And then the second reason, guys, is this new legislation in college athletics called name, image, and likeness, where players can get money to play college sports, where it has never been the case before. It has always been an amateur venture for as long as the NCAA has been around, for 150 years. And you combine that with the fact that the transfer portal has opened up now, where you do not have to sit out a year. You can simply have one transfer, one free transfer from one school to any other school anytime you want, as long as you only do it once. And that is giving these schools like Florida Atlantic, like Miami, opportunities to compete with the big boys, and they're doing it right now.
Dick, some of the highly regarded college players, if they're playing in a side that doesn't do well and they're expected to do well, does that affect them if they go into the draft?
No, it doesn't. No. The draft is purely based on talent and potential. I mean, it's obviously a, it helps if they show the leadership and being able to, carry a team to the championship. And we saw it with Carmelo Anthony. That might have boosted his stock a little bit because he really stepped up as a freshman in 2003 and not carried Syracuse, but really showed that he was a big time player, taking Syracuse to a national championship in 2003. So that probably boosted his stock a little bit, but you're not really beholden by how your team does. I do think that it happens a little bit in the NFL draft, particularly with quarterbacks. You know, if you're a quarterback of a losing team, people are going to kind of wonder, okay, why can't you get this team over the top? Because the quarterback has such an impact on how the team does.
Dick, NBA, not going to see much of Ben Simmons.
Again? No, we're not going to see much of Ben. We haven't seen much of Ben Simmons lately, and now we're definitely not going to see much of Ben Simmons for the rest of the year. And, Brooklyn has just been shaky, just like most of the other teams in that middle stretch of the Eastern Conference. Heck, the middle stretch of the Western Conference as well. Those seeds 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 have all just been very, very mediocre. And, now the question is, what is the rest of Ben Simmons' career going to look like? Is it going to more closely resemble his first few years where he was very consistent? 15 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, 7 assists a game. Yeah, he couldn't shoot threes. Yeah, he couldn't shoot free throws. But at least he was a high field goal percentage guy and got other guys the ball. Or is it going to resemble what we've seen in the last 16 months, which is a complete bust? So we all hope for Ben Simmons' case that he can get back to that player he once was. I don't know if it's ever going to be in Brooklyn. He still has 2 years left on his contract. It'll be interesting to see if Brooklyn just, are at their wit's end and just buys him out of that contract, or if he just sits and they hope he can get better physically and better mentally and ready to go.
Well, it didn't take long, Dick, for the Kyrie Irving tire fire to move from Brooklyn to Dallas, did it?
That wasn't a surprise, was it?
It is going pear-shaped in this duo with he and Luka Doncic. I saw Luka Doncic in a post-game press conference the other day. He looked a broken human.
That's what Kyrie does to you guys. It wasn't just, 3 weeks ago that Luka and Kyrie were sitting in a press conference and they were high-fiving and they were having fun and then they were sitting on the bench together and Luka had his arm around Kyrie and they were, it was like a couple in love, man, for the first couple weeks of a relationship. And then all of a sudden the relationship went south, as it does with Kyrie every place he goes. And now they are in serious jeopardy of not even making a play-in game, guys. I mean, they're in the 11th spot right now. If the season ended today, Dallas's season would be over. Now, the good news for Dallas is that Oklahoma City and the Lakers are only a half a game ahead of them. The Pelicans are only a game and a half ahead of them. So if they can just play reasonably well over the last six games, if they can go 4-2, that's probably going to be enough for them to get in. But right now, they're just not playing that well to go 4-2.
LeBron missed 13 games, Dick. He made a comeback against the Bulls. They lost. Are they still on track to possibly make finals?
They're on track to make the play-in game. And right now, if the season ended today, they would be in it. They've got seven games left. I think 4-3 would be enough. I think if they go 4-3 and finish the season at 41-41, simply because that would make Dallas have to go 5-1 over their last six, and I don't see a Dallas team capable of going 5-1 right now over a six game stretch. So I think that's your key. I think going over 500 for the last seven games should cement it, and at least we would have a very marketable play in round of the NBA, which really still hasn't garnered the attention of the NBA fans that much because it's so new. It's only been around a couple of years. But if you put a 7 Golden State against the 10 Los Angeles Lakers, and that's your play-in round of the NBA playoffs, boy, what a way to wake everybody up to NBA basketball who might have been sleeping for the last 4 months and waiting for the playoffs to start. You give me Golden State against LA, loser goes home in the play-in round. That is fantastic theater right there, guys.
Yeah, that would be great. All right, we've got a stack of questions on the text line in regards to, the NFL and the various topics. I'll read them all out and I'll get you to respond. Firstly, this NFL free agency is a mess. Jets want a Super Bowl caliber quarterback but won't pay the draft capital for a four-time MVP, says Candace. Hi, Dick. Why will the Jets not consider Lamar Jackson, says LP. This Rodgers trade will not end because everyone wants what Seattle got, and everyone knows Rodgers is a much better quarterback than Russell Wilson. Just he is older. What does Dick think, says Baddick. Boys, can you ask Dick the problem with the Rodgers trade? The problem with the Rodgers trade is his team, Seattle. They started this quarterback trade problem after baiting Denver. Thoughts? Jono at Mudgee. A lot to take in there, I know, Dick. Over to you.
All related. They're all related questions. We'll start with the Seattle trade. I mean, they're not going to nearly get what Seattle got for Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was much younger, and Russell Wilson was, remember, he was still playing very good football. He only had about, six or seven bad games with Seattle prior to his trade, and part of that was, or almost all of that was, blamed on his injured finger. So the Seahawks were able to get full market value for a quarterback that most people still considered in his prime. Yes, towards the end of his prime, but still in his prime. Nobody considers Aaron Rodgers in his prime. And so he's going to be 40 years old. So you're not going to get that type of value. Why the Jets aren't looking at Lamar Jackson is interesting. And it sounds to me like a deal is in place, a good faith deal is in place, and they just can't move off that right now. If they had any question, I think if the Jets had any question that Aaron Rodgers was going to sign with them, they would be investigating Lamar Jackson, because that would be a very, very interesting deal to trade two first-round draft picks, which is essentially what Seattle got for Russell Wilson. Now, Seattle got more than that because they got players as well. But for Lamar Jackson, since he's a franchise player, you get two first-round draft picks, this year's draft pick and next year's draft pick. Lamar Jackson, I think, would be a much better option, at least long-term, for the Jets than Aaron Rodgers would be, particularly since they're going to be making both about the same amount of money. But they must have a deal in place, or else I would seriously consider Lamar Jackson if I was the Jets. I mean, that would be a perfect scenario with the running game they have. They've got better wide receivers in New York than Lamar ever thought of having in Baltimore, and they've got a very good defense. I mean, that's a team with Lamar Jackson that, I mean, I think with Aaron Rodgers, they're a playoff team. They're not a Super Bowl contending team. With Lamar Jackson, I mean, they're not the Chiefs, but whatever that next level is, the Chargers, the Bills, the Bengals, I think you shoot the Jets right up in there in that group if they had Lamar Jackson.
Who do you reckon he'll end up with, Dick? Lamar? And someone's just texted in, Lamar Jackson is a disgrace, turning his back on his NFL team and college state. This sport is no longer a team sport. Someone's not happy with Lamar.
Yeah, I'm not a big Lamar fan. I do appreciate his athleticism, but his numbers have gone down the last few years. He's never been a tremendously accurate quarterback. But I do still think there's a couple, 3 good years left in Lamar Jackson in the right situation. A lot of people are talking about the Colts. I mean, the Colts are a team that most likely will draft a quarterback, but they don't have to draft a quarterback. If they don't like, if they don't love somebody in this draft, then they don't have to draft a quarterback. They could just trade that first-round pick and next year's first-round pick and go pay Lamar Jackson and have him come in. And that could be, you know, that could be any of those teams in the first 6-7 picks of the draft that don't have quarterbacks. I mean, there are good options at quarterback in the draft, but if you just want, if you think the rest of your team is pretty well set and not in rebuilding mode, then go ahead and forego your opportunity to get that first round quarterback and just go pay those 2 first round picks and get Lamar in there.
Now, the match play, what's been the fallout from the event on the weekend, which I can't believe that the Tour is getting rid of it, Dick, and of course we're only, over a week away to the Masters with the Texas Open this week.
Yeah, they're getting rid of it in Austin. I haven't seen whether or not they're going to get rid of it for good and not play it at any other course, but they are leaving Austin, which I thought was a really good venue for the match play. I thought it was fairly popular. It was, you know, to have the two hot players. And we didn't realize Cameron Young was this hot going in, but he showed himself on that day one where he shot a 27 in his first 9 holes. I mean, he just continued that fire all the way through until he ran into a buzzsaw in Sam Burns that has really started to play better golf as of late. And Sam wins the whole thing. I think the ratings were probably down because instead of Rory versus Scheffler in the championship match, you got Rory versus Scheffler in the secondary match and that third, fourth place match. But what it does, though, is it shows, okay, Scheffler's still hot. Rory is getting hot. And that provides a lot more intrigue for the Masters coming up in a couple of weeks because those two players are playing at the top of their game now. And Rory, obviously looking for the personal Grand Slam. There's going to be a lot of people cheering for him in the Masters. As for this week, you know, Ricky Fowler's a name to watch this week, guys. He's been a guy that everybody's like, okay, when is Ricky going to be Ricky again? Well, he's Ricky again. Ricky Fowler, over the last 6 months, is one of the top 10 golfers in the world. I mean, he is playing that well. If he is not playing in the Masters next week unless he wins this golf tournament. So the question is, will that be too much pressure for Ricky? Or is that exactly what Ricky needs to just take it over the top and finally get his first win in what would be a, you know, 3 or 4 years, I believe, Ricky Fowler hasn't won a golf tournament. So that's an interesting name to watch.
Okay, he's $17 for our listeners on the second line of betting. Tyrrell Hatton is the favourite at $13 for the Valero Texas Open this week. The traditional, the event traditionally before the Masters next week. Dick, we look forward to previewing that with you. Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Oh, can't wait. That's my favorite week of the year. You know that.
Yeah, bring it on. Good on you. Dick Fain there over in the States. And spare a thought for Lucas Herbert as well, who went up 5 places in the rankings from 56th to 51st. Needed to be in the top 50.
Yeah.
To get an invite to the Masters. That's going to keep you up at night for a while.
Oh, mate.
Oh, that hurts.
Close but no cigar.
Lucas Herbert, 51st in the world, 1 outside the cut. Ouch, that's got to hurt.